Again, this morning, I have a note from Teresa Burdick. She has a niece, Rachel Mendenhall, who's on life support. 35 years old, had a newborn about 8 months ago. And she began complaining with headaches, and the doctor told her, it's migraines and different things, but actually it happened to be a tumor on the brain. And so she's asked, she's on life support. The family has asked for one more day before she's unplugged. They are believers, which is huge and wonderful and awesome. But still, of course, it's a difficult time for the family. The husband's name is Wayne. I'm sorry, husband is Blake. And it's Teresa's brother, Wayne, is her dad. So before we begin today, let's just take a few moments and pray for Teresa and her family, okay? Lord, this is a very difficult season for the family. Lord, I can't even imagine what they must be thinking or going through at this time. And unless someone has been through it, I don't know if we can even identify with them. But Lord, you can. And Lord, you know how to heal broken hearts. You know how to work in these situations so that good things can come. Lord, we look at these type things and we realize that we're not in control. We also understand from your word that you're the author of life and not death. And so, Lord, we want to put Rachel in your hands. Lord, you do what's necessary and needed. Lord, our heart and our cry would be that she would, when she takes up that the tumor would go away. You can do that. And when they take her off life support, she would be alive and well and no more problems. But Lord, this is in your realm, and so we're going to trust her with you. But Lord, I do pray you'd be with the family right now. Bring comfort to them. You're the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our tribulation. You said that you would send your Holy Spirit to bring comfort. So Lord, thank you. Thank you for what you're going to do through this. We'll give you the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. I suppose you've heard this week that Billy Graham went to be with the Lord. Yeah, almost 100 years old. Daniel says in chapter 12, verse 3, that those who lead many to righteousness will shine as the stars in heaven. So there's a new star this week that's shining. Don't know which one's Billy Graham, but there's a new star shining. Scripture tells us that there are rewards for those who are faithful to him. So when you get to heaven, what do you think you're going to be doing? Some, cartoons depict when our spirit leaves our body, you go sit on a cloud and play a harp. I've seen that. Some say you're going to be singing in the choir. So what are you going to be doing? And in Hebrews, we're going to be talking about that today, because Hebrews actually talks a bit about that. And so we're going to be visiting that, and we're going to be searching other scripture, because here's the thing with Hebrews. Who is it written to?
Hebrews.
The Jews. The Hebrews. People who spoke Hebrew. And so many times what the author in Hebrews says, and it's kind of like a snapshot, because the people in Hebrew knew their word, knew the scripture, knew the Old Testament. And so the author gives us a snapshot, and then we have to say, whoa, what's he talking about? And then we have to go back and do some research. So today, it's going to be more teaching than preaching. Are you okay with that?
Yes.
All right. So, turn in your Bibles or look up here. In Hebrews chapter 2, verses 5 through 8, it says this, and let's stand for the reading of God's Word. And we're going to be actually concentrating on verse 8 and maybe come back later. For it was not unto angels that God subjected the world to come. Say, world to come.
World to come.
So there's a new world coming, right?
Yeah.
Okay, we're not going to get into that today. Maybe next time. Of which we are speaking, it has been testified somewhere. What is man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you care for him? Actually, that was in Psalms. You made him a little lower, a little while lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor, putting everything in subjection under his feet. Now, in putting everything in subjection to him, he left nothing outside his control. And at present, we do not yet see everything in subjection to him. You may be seated. I hope to clear this up for you today, or at least a portion of it. There's a lot here. I'm not going to be able to cover it all in one session, so we're going to be taking two different time to take care of this. So in verse 8, it talks about what is our role in the world to come, in the new world order. Now, not the old, not what is now, and not what others project the new world order will be, but what Christians say and what Jesus says the new world is. So, in order to understand this passage, we've got to go back to the beginning. Genesis chapter 1. So, in the beginning, in the very beginning, the dominion of heaven and earth belonged to who? God. Okay? In the very beginning, the dominion of heaven and earth belonged to God. He designed it. He created it. He owned it. And then, he gave the dominion away. Look at Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 through 31. Then God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens. So, who is he giving dominion to?
Man.
He says, let them have a dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the heavens, over the livestock, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. And so, God blessed them in verse 28. God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over all of these things. So God gave the dominion of earth to Adam and Eve. And so, Adam and Eve were living in the garden. They had dominion. He would tell a leopard, go jump on this rock, and he'd jump over that rock. He'd ride the elephants, I'm sure. I would have. I'm sure he had a great time in the garden. I mean, you can just imagine with all those animals around you and they're all pets. How awesome would that be? How awesome would that be? Pretty cool. And so, he had a wonderful time. And so, what was the first commandment God gave? Take care of the earth. Okay? Take care of the earth. He told Adam and Eve, take care of the earth. Subdue it. Take dominion over it. And so they had dominion over the earth. But then something happened. Adam and Eve relinquished control of the dominion of earth to Satan. Okay? So Satan, you remember, if you remember your scripture, Satan tried to take over heaven. And God said, that's not going to happen. So he was placed on earth, and he determined, he decided in his mind and his heart, since I can't have heaven, I'm going to take earth. God doesn't have dominion over it anymore because he gave it to man. So he began lying to man. He began deceiving them and subterfuge and all of the things that is necessary for him to take dominion of the earth. And so when Adam and Eve sinned, guess what happened? Rather than listening to God and obeying God, they listened to Satan and began obeying Satan. And so that authority was transferred over to Satan. Okay? I'll prove it to you in some other scriptures. Jesus actually caused Satan, the ruler of the world. If you remember in Matthew chapter 4, Jesus was being tempted by the devil. You remember that? And Satan said to Jesus, I want you to bow down and worship me. If you bow down and worship me, I will give you all of the dominion of the earth. Did Jesus say, Satan, you don't have dominion? No? That's not what he said. You read this, took him to a very high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. Said, I'll give this to you if you'll fall down and worship me. Jesus said, guess what? I'm not going to worship you. I'm not going to worship material things. I'm not going to worship money. I'm not going to worship you. I'm not going to worship anything you have. I'm going to worship God and Him alone. But He never did say that Satan didn't own it. In another passage, John 12:31, Jesus said, now is the judgment of this world. Now will the ruler of this world be cast out. So who is he talking about? And who's the ruler of the world? Satan. Okay. And 14:30, I will no longer talk much with you, he's talking to his disciples. For the ruler of this world is coming. He has no claim on me. Okay, who's the ruler of the world? But then something miraculous happens. When Jesus conquered Satan, when he conquered sin, when he conquered the grave, when he conquered death, he took that authority back. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So Satan no longer had the authority. Jesus did. As a matter of fact, in Matthew 28:19-20, it says, verses 16 through 18, it says, the 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to who?
Him.
To him. To Jesus. Now, this, you have to remember, this was after his death, burial, and resurrection. Okay? It wasn't before. He got that authority after his death, burial, and resurrection. Okay? Are you following me so far? All right. So, now it comes to our focal passage in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 8. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 5 through 8. And putting every... So, When he says here in verse 6 and following, what is man that you're mindful of him, or the son of man that you care for him? You made him a little lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor, putting everything in subjection under his feet. Who is he talking about? It's not talking about Jesus. It's not about you and me. So he's restored what Adam and Eve lost. He's restored that to his children. Okay? So when you became a child of God, you received power that you had not had prior to receiving Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Does that make sense? You receive the Holy Spirit, of course. But not only did you receive the Holy Spirit, there were some things that you were put under your feet as a child of God that you did not have authority over prior to that. In Mark chapter 16, Scripture says, tells his disciples, you have power over sickness, you have power over demons, you have power over all of this stuff. Now, prior to knowing Christ, they did not have that power. But because when they received Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, then there was things that were transferred to Jesus after he won it from Satan. Jesus says, now, I want to give it back to where it belongs. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You have more authority than you think you have. Okay? You have more than you think you have. It's Scripture. If we read on in verse 8, back up just a minute. If we read on in verse 8, it says, now, at the very last, at present, we do not yet see everything that is put under our feet. We don't see yet everything that's going to be given to us. We only have a portion of it now. Okay? But there's coming a time when there's going to be more given to us as children of God. Isn't that exciting? And that's going to take place when Jesus comes back. I want you to look with me at a couple of... When I see Scripture like this, I try to find other Scripture to kind of correlate with it. So it's not just a standalone thing. Because the best commentary for Scripture is Scripture. Okay? And so, what has happening, we see in... let's see, where do I start? What's the next passage I've got up there, TJ? Sometimes I get what I give him and what I give me messed up. So, listen to this. Do you not know, in 1 Corinthians 6, 2 and 3, do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if the world will be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Don't you know that you will judge the angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? Isn't that an interesting passage of Scripture? Did you know that you're going to be judging angels? Did you know that although you are, Scripture says in that Hebrews 2 chapter, you're made a little lower than the angels for a time, but there will be a time when you are higher than the angels and you will be in judgment. Why would they need to be judged? Scripture says that the angels have a free will just like we do. Okay? The problem, listen, and I don't know when, so we have the we have put on us, we have the Lord has put on us the ability to judge angels. Okay? But here's what I'm thinking. What if we don't make good judgments for ourselves here on earth? Or if we don't make good judgments and help other people make good judgments here on earth, how well are we going to be good at judging angels? So I'm thinking we need to make sure our own stuff is in order. Okay? And that we're making good decisions for ourselves with the help of the Holy Spirit, of course. Okay? Because it's impossible for us to make good decisions without the empowerment and without the Holy Spirit telling us what to do. It's impossible for us to do that. It's not possible. A lot of times, you know, I had somebody come into my office the other day. Very intelligent individual. Teaches at the college. But I said, his family's going through a crisis. And I asked him, can you hear from the Holy Spirit? He said, no, I haven't been able to hear from the Holy Spirit for many, many years. And I told him, as intelligent as you are, if you're not able to hear from the Holy Spirit and follow Him, you're going to make some horrible mistakes in your life. Because it's not possible. Scripture says that God's ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. So far above the heavens are His thoughts than our thoughts. And then in 1 Corinthians he says that the Holy Spirit speaks to our spirit, letting us know what the Father has for us. Okay, that's not the exact wording, but that's the gist of it. And so what we need to do, we need to get so close to the Lord that we can hear His voice, because if you have financial problems, do you think God has an answer for that? So if you were able to connect with Him, do you think He would be willing to share with you what to do regarding that? Yeah. If you have family problems, in relational problems, and you're wanting wisdom about how to deal with this, if you got close enough to the Lord, do you think He would let you know how to deal with that? Do you think that's important to Him? Definitely it's important to Him. And let me just share with you. There's a good book to read too. And God has given wisdom to individuals as well. Sometimes when you're praying and the Lord and you're saying, God, what do I do about this financial situation? A thought may come to your mind about a book. Or sometime this week, somebody will just say, hey, have you ever read the book regarding these financial principles? You're thinking, maybe that's an answer to prayer. Maybe that's an answer to prayer. I'm thinking probably not maybe. Okay? God can answer those prayers in a lot of different ways. But listen, unless you are connected to the Holy Spirit, you're not going to make good decisions for yourself or for your family members or for everybody else. Oftentimes we run off of emotions. Well, this is the way it feels. I just feel like I need to do this. You know what? Every time I've had that and I did it, guess what? Didn't work out. It was bad. But I thought it was from the Lord. No, it wasn't. It was not. If it turns out bad, it wasn't from the Lord. And usually I have if I just feel like I've got to do it, I've just got to make it right, I've got to fix it, it usually blows up. Because I'm fixing it under my own power or in my own time rather than following the Holy Spirit. So 2 Timothy 2:12 says, If we endure, we will also reign with Him. Isn't that an interesting passage of Scripture? Did you know that you would reign with Jesus Christ? That you would rule with Him? Did you know that? But there's a qualification there. It says, if you what?
Endure.
If you what?
Endure.
Say it again.
Endure.
Tell your neighbor.
Endure.
If you endure, you will reign with Christ. Last week we talked about slipping away. You remember that? And how people slip away. In Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, he talked about slipping away. He said, be careful that you don't slip away from the truths that I've shared with you. Be careful that you don't slip away. And what he's saying here is, now if you endure, if you continue, if you don't quit, how many of you have ever felt like quitting? I'll share this with you, but there was a time in my pastorate ministry every Monday I would go, Lord, am I done yet? Are you finished here with me? Because it was a struggle. I think I'm past that now. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But sometimes you just feel like quitting. Sometimes you do the best you can and you just work hard and it doesn't seem like the Lord is helping you one bit. You ever been there? You're thinking, God, where are you? He never promised it would be easy, did he? But he did promise you it would be worth it. And we can't even imagine what God has in store for us. But let me just tell you this. You're not going to be sitting on a cloud playing a whistle. Okay? God's going to have something for you to do. You're not going to be bored, I guarantee you. I had one guy tell me one day, you know, I don't want to go to heaven because all we're going to do is stand around the throne and sing. I don't want to stand around the throne and sing. I guarantee you, you're not going to be bored in heaven. Now, there's going to be choirs in heaven. If that's your gifting, if that's what you love to do, guess what I believe you're going to be doing? You're going to be singing. Here's what I think. I don't know, but here's what I think. When I get to heaven, I'm going to go to these different bands. Okay? David and his harp and his band. In the temple of the Old Testament and their band. All in worship to the Lord. And you know they got these people now who have concerts. Christian guys and gals. Wonderful. David Crowder band. You know. I think we're going to be able to get in all of that. And if you like... if you like to hear soul music, there's going to be a soul choir over here. I believe that. I believe we're going to get a taste of heaven that we don't experience here on earth. We're going to enjoy a lot of things, but there's going to be some responsibilities that are given to us as well. Okay? So, what I want to do then is, if that's the case, do you believe that? Do you believe... so what I've shared with you this morning, do you believe that God has put some things in your hand to be responsible for? Here on this earth. And do you believe that He's given you the power to accomplish what He's given you to be responsible for? So, if you have your Bibles, Matthew 25. I didn't put this up because it's a long passage of Scripture. Matthew 25, 14 through 30. Matthew 25, 14 through 30. And I'm going to mostly tell it rather than read it. But you can write this down as a reference if you want to, and you can study it out later. It says there's the kingdom of heaven is like this landowner who, when he leaves, he gives many of his servants some money. And they're to be responsible with the money that he gives them. One of them, Scripture says, he gave 5 talents, pieces of money. Another 2, and another 1, verse 15. Each one according to his ability. Okay? Well, he's not going to give you more responsibility than you can handle. Okay? So he's given each one according to his ability. And he went on a journey. The guy with the 5 talents, 5 pieces of money, he went and earned 5 more. The one with 2, he went and earned 2 more. And then there was this guy with 1. Verse 18, he went and dug in the ground, hid the money in the ground. The things that he was given responsibility for, he just didn't take care of it. So verse 20, so he who had received 5 talents brought 5 with him. And the Lord said to him, "Well done, you good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I'm going to make you ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." Okay? So when you're reading these parables, especially this one, there's a lot of applications. Okay? But one of the applications that we're going to be that I'm addressing today is that when you get to heaven, depending on how well you did with what you had on earth will be dependent upon the responsibilities in heaven. Okay? And he says, "You've done well, my servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." The one with 2 talents brought the other 2 talents, and he says, "Hey, Lord, I've got 4 talents now." He said, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'm going to make you ruler over some more things." And the one with the 1 talent comes before the Lord. Verse 24. He says, "I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you didn't sow, gathering where you had not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, I'm bringing it back to you." Do you think the Lord was pleased with that? He was not pleased. He said, "You wicked and lazy servant. You know that you knew that I reap where I haven't sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to at least have deposited in the bank where I could have received some interest." So, the talent you have, I want you to give it to somebody else. I want you to give it to the guy that's been responsible with what I had given him. Give it to the guy with 5 talents. So now 10 talents. Give it to him. Verse 29, listen. "For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from whom who does not have, even what he has will be taken away." Because he's not faithful with what he was given. "So cast this unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Years ago, I was visiting my dad. Dad was a preacher too. And he had one of his pastor friends come visit the house, and I happened to be in the room with him. And when he came in, Dad was one of his best friends, and he told Dad, "I just wanted to share with you, I'd just been to the doctor, and I can't remember, he had something, he said, the doctors haven't given me long to live." started crying, not because he didn't have own good. But he said this, I know when I get to heaven, I'm going to hear the words, enter thou into the joy of the Lord. But I don't know if I will hear the words, thou good and faithful servant. I've thought about that often. When I get to heaven, I know I'm going to heaven. But I don't just want to skate in by the skin of my teeth. I want to hear those words, enter thou in, thou good and faithful servant. Enter in into the joy of the Lord. I want to hear those words. And so the best I'm able, I'm continuing to pursue the Lord. Continuing to be faithful to Him. Listen, we don't... If you live, be 100. Billy Graham was 99. What do you think he heard? But you know what? He used what he was given. Okay? And God's not going to compare us to Billy Graham. Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. He's going to see, have we been faithful with what we've been given? Have I been faithful to this church? Have I been faithful to my family? Have I been faithful in the things that God has given me? That's what he's not going to compare me to Billy Graham. And if I'm faithful with what God's given me, I'm going to get the same rewards Billy Graham gets. I want to hear those words. Well done, thou good, and faithful servant. Wouldn't that be wonderful to hear from the Lord? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. What are you going to hear? What are you going to hear? On your communication card, on the back of it, I've got a few statements. It says, I've been faithful with the things God has put in my hands. I believe I will hear the words, good and faithful servant, when I get to heaven. Second one is, I'm not sure I will hear those words, good and faithful servant. I determined to become obedient to the Lord. I do know heaven is my home. Third one, I'm not sure I'll go to heaven when I die, but would like to know for sure. And the fourth one, I know for sure I'm going to heaven when I die, but would like. That should be... Anyway, somehow I messed up on that one. Sorry about that. I can't even remember what it was supposed to be. Anyway, just put in your own answer there. Just put in your own answer there. Do you know for sure that when you die, you're going to heaven? Do you believe that when you die and go to heaven, that God will say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. If you don't know that that's part of your what God's going to say to you, why don't you just begin today? Why don't you begin listening to the Spirit? Why don't you begin doing what you know God wants you to do? There's some things you don't know, but there's some things you do know. And quit being disobedient to Him and become obedient to Him. And I believe that you can change that, so that you can hear those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. We're going to have an invitation. And you, if the Lord is speaking to your heart about something, I'm going to invite you to either come talk to me, and I can pray for you. You can come to the altar, or let it be known on those communication cards and drop it in the offering plate, because I will get in touch with you. However, I'm going to Mississippi on Tuesday. And we've gone for 2 weeks. So we better do it today. All right? Better do it today. Father, I come before you and thank you for your word to us. Lord, thank you for these blessings. You've already given us things that we have dominion over. And so, Lord, I thank you for that. You have restored what the enemy stole. We'll give you praise. Father, I pray that you would bless this time, and Lord, that whatever needs to be done between us and you, that it would be done. And we ask these things in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Let's stand together.